This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Thank you for joining us for the next episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future. This is episode number 49. We are one episode away from number 50.
Holy moly. And we have exciting news. I feel like we should start with the exciting news, right?
Yes, indeedy. Go for it, girly.
Okay, so we know that with our big personalities, you just want to see us, right? Like, you want to see what we look like while we're doing this crazy podcast being led by the spirit, because we don't know what we're doing, and that probably looks entertaining. So Jen and I have talked about it and thought about it and prayed about it, and we thought it would be really fun to have a live Facebook event for our 50th episode. More details to come, but for you listening right now, it is going to be October 18th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you follow us on Facebook, be looking for an event to go out and more details. But that is the main thing you need to know. 8:30 p.m. Facebook on Plans, Hope, and a Future. That's where we'll be October 18th. Amen. And I will try to do my hair and my makeup and put myself together, but no promises. We shall see.
Well, me too. Like, it's like, oh, okay. So now you're going to see us. See, we make gestures to one another and all kinds of stuff in ways that you don't see when we're doing this podcast. And now you're gonna see it. So yeah. There we go. But it ought to be fun. It's okay. Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to it. It's going to be a great celebration. And
Yes. And
who knows, as we're doing a live event, the cool thing about that is, as you're watching, you can present questions or you can give comments or whatever. And that'll be fun, because it will be fun to answer questions on the fly. So
it's good. Yeah. So come with your questions and you will get the raw, unedited version. Jen might have a lot of work on her hands to put the podcast out and clean it up the next week, but you'll get to see it raw and a mess. And I've told y'all, I'm a hot mess. So you're going to get fully that. It's going to be awesome and fun. And hey, you might take away that God can use really anyone if he uses me.
Listen to you. Oh, self-deprecating.
No, it's good. Listen, I am a very confident woman. Jen knows this about me. Seriously, I'm very confident. But I also know that I need the Lord, and I have a strong dependency on him. And I know areas where I am a big hot mess. And if the Lord wasn't in those areas and he wasn't using me or leading me, that it would be a disaster. So I boast in my hot messness, because really he's leading the way. And if he wasn't, then it'd be a disaster. So I'm confident in my hot messness. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, let's be real, people.
Yes.
No one's got it all together. So
that's true.
I need you to know that I am a confident woman, very much so. But Paul boasts in his weakness, right? Like,
this is very true. You're speaking truth, girl. Go.
Yeah. When we are weak, he's strong. And I say that all the time, because there's been plenty of times in my life where I put my Messiah britches on in the morning and thought I was the strength there. And let's just say me and Jen just rolled out of bed and still sipping on my coffee. And if I put my Messiah britches on this morning and didn't welcome God into the space, I don't know what would happen in this podcast. It wouldn't be good, though. So
yeah,
we need them.
That's true. That's absolutely the truth. So before we get into our subject today, we just want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Jenny Becknell.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Miss Jenny Becknell is a wonderful human being and a really great friend and a beautiful soul. And we're just very thankful that she sponsors our podcast. And so just a shout out to our sponsor.
Yes. I hope you all got to listen to her podcast too. We did just a few weeks back. If you want to know more about Sweet Jenny Becknell, I highly encourage you to tune into that podcast. She was a really sweet, fun guest, and I enjoyed that a lot. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's fun. She's very fun. All right, so into our subject. So today we're going to talk about leadership. Ooh, leadership. big word. And where I felt like, or why I felt like we needed to talk about that one, it was laid on my heart, of course, but also I feel like people misunderstand what leadership is, what leadership can be, and what it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And so I think we've all experienced people that have been leaders in our lives in different areas. So we have like work leaders, we have like church leaders.
Yeah.
We have, I don't know, group leaders, like if we're in the PTA or, you know, whatever it is. And I can bet you can give so many examples of bad leaders.
Yeah.
And probably more fewer of good leaders.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I wanted to jump into that. So when I think about leadership, I think about biggest, best example was Jesus and how he led. And his leadership was all about serving the people.
Yeah.
And that's how he led. And I know so many leaders that lead from like, just do what I say.
Yeah.
Just obey me. And it was so funny. My pastor in a sermon just this past weekend had said this, that if you want to be a leader because in your workplace, if you want to be a leader because you want to fire someone, that's the wrong reason to want to be a leader.
Oh boy. Yeah.
And I can tell you, I'm sure that happens a lot. People think, well, if I was the leader, I'd get rid of that person because they do such a crappy job. And why isn't the boss doing more? Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's like the absolute wrong reason to be a leader.
Right.
So anyway, thoughts on that whole thing of leadership and what you've seen.
Yeah. So I feel like I've had a few good leaders in just experience in my life, but I've also, like you said, had some really bad ones. And I feel like we don't have to spend a lot of time on what a bad leader looks like, because I feel like you just know that, right? Like, you know, if you're being bossed around, how that makes you feel, how if you're not walking away from the situation, that you feel less than, you feel, you know, like just awful in your physical self, what that looks like. Right. We don't have to spend a lot of time saying what a bad leader is. And honestly, we don't want to teach you how to be a bad leader.
Well, no, but I mean, it's really hard when you are trying to follow someone that isn't being like a good example of what it is to lead.
Right.
And you feel like they don't have your best interest at heart. It's like, how can you give more?
Right.
You because then you hold back and you don't trust. But I think about like just Jesus, like I said, and his leadership and how he was such a great example of what it is to lead from a position of serving.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to just share like some common things, maybe what good leadership looks like for us. And honestly, I think it's very personal. And Jesus is very personal, right? Like Jesus uses like my hair to heal me because that's very personal to me, you know? So it's going to look a little bit different, but I think there's probably common themes what a good leader looks like. So to me, when I'm looking at a boss, best bosses that I've had, you know, in the past, those bosses came alongside me. They didn't just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
They were in there with me.
Yeah.
And when stuff got crazy, they didn't just start yelling. They picked up what they needed to pick up too, and they ran with us in the work environment. They were not from a posture of like above us where they were just pointing out which way to go. They got in there and they were good teammates and were well equipped as well and knowledgeable in the area and came alongside each and every one of us and knew, yes, this is hard. But we're going to get the job done together. So those were always the best leaders. The ones that weren't sitting in office and just bossing people around or, that were literally just coming alongside, especially there's times I understand bosses need to get paperwork done. Like,
sure. Right. They know, have those other things in their position. Right.
Absolutely. But when stuff gets tough and things pick up and it's busy, they really just got in there with the team and led from that posture. Like, here's what we're going to do. Follow me. Like, right. Like Jesus said, right. Like, follow me. More times than we probably can find in the Bible. He said, follow me. And that's what a good leader looks like. Like, okay, we need to get this done and we need to do this together. So follow my lead.
Right.
I'm going to do this with you and I'm going to do this well and I'm not going to lose my cool. I'm going to stay steady in this so you can stay steady because really we just mirror the boss's attitude. Like if the boss is in a bad mood, the team's in a bad mood, right?
Yeah,
like, we feel terrible. So then that goes out to the customers or the clients or whatever, you know, work situation you're in. So if the boss leads with a good attitude, that just, the ripple effect is amazing, right? So it's really more of a leadership to me could really just be boiled down to as follow me. And whatever that looks like, if it's good, then that's what your team's going to do. And if it's bad, then that is what is probably going to happen to your team.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I would also throw in there that good leadership is, it's from a position of serving the people they're leading. And if you want to be a leader, I think you have to acknowledge that you have to serve. You have to serve the people you are leading.
Yep.
And I think it's super important when you can identify with your staff. Like, there's not this great chasm between you and the staff person. Like, you're right in with them. With the people that you're leading, you're in the harvest, you're doing the thing, like you're, you know what I mean? You're right there with them, you're serving with them, like you were saying. And I think too often we have leaders that feel like, gosh, I have to be the standard and I have to just, it doesn't matter if I know how to do that position or not. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And it's like, those aren't necessarily the best leaders.
Right.
That way. Right. So, I think servant leadership is a thing. And I actually have a friend who is getting their PhD and their dissertation is on servant leadership. And I thought, wow, that's such an interesting thing to have a dissertation on as far as how leadership looks different if you're approaching it from a position of serving your staff or your folks, whoever you're leading, as opposed to you're the leader and they serve you. They serve your position.
Yeah. And, you know, personally, I'm looking back at places where I was, you know, a leader or whatever. And you'll hear in our episode coming out in just a minute. Tomorrow, you'll hear about Women Camp and how I kind of led that group. And our dear friend Kelly, she really did a good job.
Kelly Mayer, shout out to you, friend, because you did a fantastic job.
She did an amazing job. But what she did when she took over, she kind of took the role out of like leader. You're like the leader of this group. And she gave us a different title and the title was mom, right? And that really was like, it set us up. And of course, like this is something in my personality that I just mom people too, but it set us up to like serve, like make sure everyone got there in time, make sure everyone got their tent up, you know, like it really was about being a servant rather than a leader. Like I, you know, mamas in all the groups, volunteer groups around us, or the prayer team more specifically, we're just momming, helping out the group. And that's the way we led. Like, okay,
yeah,
we need to get here at this time, and I'm going to make sure that I'm there at this time, you know, just like modeling the behavior and modeling, like helping people put their tent up and things like that. Not bossing anyone around. It maybe a little with time.
Well, you got us to where we needed to be on time for sure.
Yeah.
But what you modeled was care. Like there was no question that Kelly cared for the whole team. And there was no question that you were caring for your team, your smaller team, because I thought about what made it so great for me. And I might've said this in the last episode, it was just she thought about like what she could do to take care of us. She made sure we got fed. She made sure there were hard stops when it was getting way late in the evening. And folks, I'm talking 10 o'clock at night, if that tells you anything, whereas before it might have went to midnight. I can remember that, 2 in the morning even.
Yeah.
Just hard stops, and it was it was just such a care. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
yep.
It was just there were things. And so even like with you in the morning, what did you do in the morning? Like for all of us, you knew like we were a bunch of sleepy ladies. So you were up early boiling water. I mean, but think about that. You're boiling water to make sure we have coffee so that we could be our best. You totally took care of us. And that was great leadership. That was servant leadership, but it was care.
Yeah. Well, and it was, to put it back where you know, the compliments do though, really though, Kelly was our ultimate leader.
Right.
And it was her ripple effects, right? Like she set us up for success. She stripped titles and power hungry stuff that had happened in past camps, right? Before Kelly took over. She set up those boundaries, like you said. She made sure we were fueled and fed. And yes, I hope I did a good job. But ultimately, it was because the leader modeled those things, right? So we just were her ripple effect. Yeah. And could I have chose to do another way? Sure. But I signed up under that leadership and was able to, you know, like because of all the things, model what needed to happen there. So that's what really a servant leader looks like, right? Like, Kelly made sure we were taken care of, and her ripple effect hopefully was felt at each single campsite, and everyone was mommed and taken care of. So that's what great leadership can look like. And
amen.
And duplicating other leaders, right? That's what Kelly did with all the organization that she put into it for months and months and months. She made sure the necessities were taken care of, that we had hard stops, like you said, the boundaries, that we were fed, all those things. And then it was able to easily play out because she went and did the work, right?
Because her people were protected and led well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great experience. It really was. But just in that, though, the characteristic of care, I think that's a big thing. If you are working for someone and you feel like they don't really care for you, it makes it hard. Not that you're not going to work any better, because the, you know, scripture says as a person working any occupation, you are not working for that person. You are working for the Lord. Right. But there is something to be said to feel cared for by a boss.
Yeah.
And I think a person can tell when their leadership doesn't really care for their opinion, their personal position, you know, whatever it is. And I think motivation can be brought into a situation just by caring for the person. You can help them be motivated to do the best they can if they know you care for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really boils down to like intimacy, like really knowing your people.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, you know, we had so many amazing personalities on our team, Like,
Yes,
literally,
we
it was the most, like, the I'm so God glad God designed me in this way, because I get all the different personality types that surround me because I'm such an extrovert. And so, like, I'm friends with all the different personalities and all the different people. So when we get in a big situation like that with a big group of people, like, it's just wild, the variety of color and personalities that we have in one space. And it's so fun. Like, it's a blast. I uniquely knew every single one of them, you know, and that was because I have built relationships with them. Like, I adore them, you know, so I could lead from another way. And like Jen, she's amazing at like sitting down and listening to people and getting to know people. So intimacy also is obviously no problem for her. And she would know, and she knows with her 1,000 hats that she wears every day, you know, these people. So she can love on them and manage them or whatever word she needs to do at that time well, you know?
Yeah.
So really it does boil down to just intimacy and what's your strength and like encouraging that and growing the strength. We all have limitations, right? We could just be like, well, that's not something you're good at, you know? We could all do that, but like, let's grow the strengths, you know, like,
right,
and use the giftings where it, yeah, I could just speak forever about Kelly, because that is really where Kelly just slightly tweaked what we had and allowed each of us and encouraged each of us to just let our gifting that the Lord gave to us shine through.
Yeah, that in fact, when you were talking, I wrote down free to be them. Like, a good leader lets folks be who they are,
yeah,
without trying to strip them down to be something else. Like, if you would have came in and said, okay, people, here's how it is. We're going to be quiet, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that. Details that weren't really all that important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but it would have been stifling to big personalities and, you know, yeah, whatever. You let people be who they were, and then we fit into the role that we had with our individual personalities. Like, and mind you, I'm not saying that you like threw away the expectations of the role, because you didn't. Obviously, we knew what we were supposed to do, but you let us be who we were. And Kelly, conversely, also did the same thing with the whole team, right? With every leader she had, every person. Like, so it, good. Yeah.
Yep.
It, so I think that a good leader can do that. They can figure out how a person is wired or how they work best. And as long as they're working in the framework of what they need to do in the role,
right,
they should be free to be who that they are, and to care for them in the way that they can express that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so, it's so fun, friends. Like, seriously, I encourage you to like, look at your people, especially I'll speak to this one, 'cause I am this one, like your big personalities that are like loud and fun and all those things. They have so many amazing giftings. Like, look at them and see what they are. They can be used, because it's not been my experience where always that someone would look at me and say, oh, she's a leader. But, you know, people in my life, Kelly, for instance, a lot of people have seen those things in me past all the other stuff where someone might be turned off by like my loudness or whatever
purple
else.
Purple hair.
Right. Oh, yeah. Especially like the physical stuff, right? Like, the purple hair and just like, just put me in a box. Like, well, this must be who she is. You know, she intimately got to know who I am, saw those giftings and used them. Right. Like,
right. She didn't come to Tiffany and say, okay, Tiff, you have to fit into this box right here. So you have to look a certain way. You have to talk a certain way. You have to be a certain way.
Yeah.
And if you can be that way, then we want you as a leader.
Right. Right. Yeah, praise God. Kelly,
Didn't do that at all.
We're going to have to send this one to Kelly. Kelly, we love you.
Kelly, we love
we adore you. But that is really what good leadership looks like. And so, folks, look for those unique things, because God is so good and so creative. Yeah. And I adore all the personalities that he has made. And there is so much good in each individual that, yes, it could be so easy just to sit and stare at the weakness. But man, if you light a fuel under their giftings and how God created them, you're going to have a better business, a better ministry, a better whatever, because you brought out the best in them. That's right. What we should do as leader, bring out the best in them. It's right. There, folks.
Yes. Like a leader, your job is to stay on mission, whatever the mission is.
Yeah.
But I feel like I want to just challenge anybody that's in a leadership position out there that they should ask themselves every single day, how can I serve my team?
Yeah.
How can I serve the people that I lead?
Amen.
To help us get to whatever that mission might be. You might be in a bagel shop and your mission is to sell really great bagels. Okay, that's your mission. So as a leader, how can you serve your people to help that mission and help them as individuals, like however they need to translate selling those bagels?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is. But look at leadership not as, hey, you just do what I say, I'm going to model what you do, and then that's it. And add in, like, I'm a servant. I need to be a servant to my team. And how can I serve them so that we can be better at this mission? I guarantee you, if your folks feel like you care for them and you're interested in them and that you see them, they're going to serve well back at you.
Yeah. And I just wanted to plug a book that I read a really long time ago. And it's you don't need a title to be a leader, by Mark Sanborn. And I just wanted to plug that, especially leaders listening, friends, because I know for me, I have a lot of amazing qualities, but I've been a stay-at-home mom for 11 years now, 11 years, and if I put a resume out to people now, it's really hard for me to get a job. Let's just say that I've tried, right?
Side note, that's so, like, the position of a mom, such a great occupation. It takes so many skills. It takes organization. It takes leadership. It takes all the things. And I think we as a society don't give more props to stay-at-home moms, that is an occupation that is worthy of like acknowledgement and praise and the whole thing. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry. Wanted to throw that in there because I just feel like moms don't get enough.
Yes, all the moms listening, you are worthy. So I just wanted to say it. And I felt like it was important to say, because I know there's lots of stay-at-home moms who really, like, we have given, like, of ourselves, like, maybe we've given up careers and things like that to serve our family, right? Mm-hmm. So I homeschool my children now, again, as well. So when I go out and I'm like, okay, well, I need to help my family in this way now, and I put out resumes and applications, I don't even get the opportunity most of the time to talk to someone to have an interview. I always have said that if someone has a conversation with me, if I can get in front of them and I have an interview, I'll get that dang job. Like, if they give me a chance and they don't look at all the things, like, that I'm not, like, all the titles, like, she has done this and this and this and this, because I'm here at home with my mom. I could dress that up as much as I can. But when you say stay-at-home mom, people get, you know, a common misperception and they just put you in a box, right?
Which is horrible.
It's terrible. So I don't get the job. I don't even get the opportunity to get the job. So leaders, I just want to encourage you to sit down and really talk to everyone. Give them a shot. You might find your next CEO of your company to be a stay-at-home mom because she's getting stuff done at home. She's That's raising right. those babies.
That's right.
You might be missing a lot of opportunities. And even for people that have, I'm not even just saying for stay-at-home moms, criminal records, you know, all those things, a past, a broken past, you might have an amazing leader. So try to keep people out of a box. You don't need a title to be a leader. You just don't. I don't need a title to be a leader. God is taking me to all kinds of places in ministry and all those things as a stay-at-home mom. And that's because God doesn't put me in a box. And he knows, you know, who I am and how amazing that he created me to be. And that goes for you moms at home now. So I know it's discouraging if you're out there searching for a job. I get it. It's really hard. It's really hard. But yes, leaders, indeed. Stop it. Stop it, leaders. Stop putting these Stop mamas it. In boxes. Stop you are it. Missing out. They're missing out, Jen. Like, they're missing out. There's a lot of amazing moms out there who would kill it for your job. They would kill it.
Yeah.
They just need someone to, you know, believe in them.
Right.
And come alongside them and encourage their giftings. That's it.
Right. Right. Amen.
Sorry, little preachy moment there, folks.
No, I think it's awesome. And it's true. It's great. And yeah, I wish things would be different, but change can start with us. So Amen. If you're hearing this, let change start with you.
Amen. Give a voice.
Amen.
Be the voice.
Be the voice.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're going to end it there. It's been a really great conversation about leadership. I hope you got a lot out of it. It was really good. Thanks for being my leader at Woman Camp.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for being my leader in this podcast and allowing me to use my gifting and for you using your gifting. Listen, Jen and I are both walking in our giftings here, and she knew I had the gift of gab, so I would be good at a podcast. But if it was up to me to pull it together so y'all could listen to it, well.
That's why I have the gift of getting this all together.
Puzzle.
Yes, it works. It works. Anyway. All right, friends. We hope you have a blessed week, blessed day, blessed moment, wherever you are, whenever you're listening. I pray blessings over you. And we thank you for joining us.
Bye, friends.
You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne and Tiffany Brereton. Podcast copyright 2023, Parable Road, LLC.